To be naturally minded means you're not spiritually minded. And if you're not spiritually minded, then you're dead. You're living in trespasses and sin, and you've got the love of the world in you. And if the love of the world is there, the love of the Father isn't there. And your design time is given to the world, and you're not walking by faith, but you're walking by sight. As to the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and all of these kind of things, that's the very thing that caused Eve to fall, was the lust of the eyes. She looked, she saw the tree, she lusted, she desired it. Some look in a mirror and they see their face and they lust and they want to project their face to everybody that they can. A woman, she wants to project hers to every man, to allure him, to entice him, to get him to notice her. Men, they want to pompadour the hair or get a curl, or they want to fix their face like the women with pancake makeup or whatever it is, so that they can allure as to draw the women. The others want to jog, and they want to go into the recreational side of it to be praised and to present their bodies, and they burned in their lust. They can't keep their clothing on once they build these bodies, men and women. It's for the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And all of these things bring death, because in that mind there is no life. Preachers, they want fame and popularity. They want to be on TV. They want to be Lord over God's heritage. They want the money coming in. They want the refiners of life. They'd love to have the dollars. They'd love to have this brilliance. They'd love to have somebody to make a fuss on them. They'd love to, over them, they'd love to be on television. They'd love to be on radio. They'd love to be the one, you know, as a man of the hour. But all of that is carnality. All of that is of the devil. All of that will be burned. All of that is the garbage. The garbage man will get it when he comes by. I believe I remember telling you this down in Anaheim, Betty Nair. We preached up and down the coast of California. But there in Cudahy, California, I remember one morning before Betty awoke and the children arose, I went into the living room and I was praying. And it was way over early in the morning. And I heard a noise outside, and I arose from my prayer and I went to the window to peek out. And when I did, it was still dark. But I looked to see what the problem was, and the noise, the commotion. And when I saw, it was the garbage man before daylight. And he was coming along picking up the garbage. And I thought, well, my, that's unusual. And I thought, my, he's mighty early. And I guess they do that out there. They maybe have a long route to run. Maybe the big cities like Atlanta or whatever. But anyway, I thought, why would God call my attention to the garbage man, and why would he have me up early enough for me to see the garbage man? Is the garbage man that important? And then the Lord began to speak to me and began to revelate to me, and I heard him say, son, you know, he spoke like this in the Word of God, and he said, and I have created the waster to destroy. And then he began to revelate as to the garbage man, and that had slipped up in the night to get all of that had been refused of the people, as to the broken, as to the discarded, as to that, as to the potter's story where he said, and he marred this as he had it on the wheel, and it wasn't any value to him anymore, and it was thrown away. And he said, and this man has come by. I said, this has to do with Satan. Said, he's coming by to gather everything now that's rejected and refused, all of the castaway. And said, you know where he'll take it? And I thought, well, he'll take it. He'll take it and throw it in the fire. That goes to the dump to be burned. And with a lot of other things he expounded to me there, I thought, my God, you know, the Bible speaks of the heavens having declared your handiwork. I thought, everywhere I look, it declares your handiwork. Everything in this world is symbolic. All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things that do appear. Even the allegoric types, the shadows, that insomuch that we are without excuse, even to the eternal Godhead, we see it. Because the Bible said man is made in the image of God. And so then we are without excuse. All right, so then seeing these things and just speaking of these few things this morning, you see then just to be naturally minded means you belong to the world, and the world is natural and the world belongs to you. For a time, Moses, rather than enjoy sin for a season, he chose to suffer the afflictions with the righteous. And he gave up all of his fame and popularity and to be the son of a king, and he went with God's people and he laid all of that aside. See, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the riches of Egypt. And of course, this old world is nothing but Egypt. The Bible said, don't go down to Egypt for your help. Took them out of Egypt. They turned back into Egypt in their heart, even though they were religious. Their minds were still in Egypt. That's why the Bible said, lukewarm, my table's full of vomit. I spewed them out of my mouth. See, and with many of them, I was not well pleased. Because though I delivered them, they turned back into Egypt in their heart. And America is Egypt. The rest of the world is Egypt. That's why the Bible speaks as it does. Everything that is not of Christ is Egypt. All of that is Egypt. A lot of times we don't understand. It's like Jerusalem over there. They think that that's Jerusalem, and they say this is Jerusalem, and we are the Jews. But when the Lord speaks of it, he said its spiritual name is Sodom. Sodom. Because of the evil and wretchedness of it, and killing the wise men in the way that they've done. As to kill the apostles and prophets, and said it is Sodom. And a city that is spiritually called Sodom. And inasmuch as civilization sprang from the hieroglyphics and the things that we know of in history, then that means that everybody as to civilization came out of Egypt, and America is part of Egypt. Her civilization, her understanding, her reasoning, and the Bible said all of the Gentiles seek after the things of the world. But salvation is of the Jew, and inasmuch as he that is a Jew outward is not a Jew, even though symbolic it speaks of Jesus coming from there, yet it means that as to salvation, we are the true Jew and the only Jew and the spiritual Jew, and salvation is of us. Let's give the Lord a hand. All the world is blinded and cut off, but we being children of God, we are gods made to live forever. We are gods with all riches and all knowledge, all greatness and all power. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy and tell us there's a risen Savior. I see churches and I see the church world and I see the problems of the church world. And of course, some of them seem to be happy. They shout and they sing and they holler and they praise God. And that's fine, you know, even the charismatics, they praise God. But that don't mean they're in heaven as to going to heaven as into the third heaven. But it does mean that they are in heaven as to the second heaven, and that they are having themselves a heavenly time, and that the rain is on the tare, and the tare, it's just as thankful as to that end for the water as the wheat is, because it wants to live too, you know. But nevertheless, speaking of the children of God and the people of God who are gods, who are great and who are mighty, it's so magnificent and as to evaluating properly and differentiating properly as to think about the others that are believers, that are religious people among us, only reflectors with their intellectual religious reflection, like a man sitting here to my left. And the man is still hostile toward me. He gets in here and he claps his hand. He tries to go along with me. But I'm saying this for your sake, brother. I could go on. It wouldn't bother me, even though it does hurt me to think, you know, because I'd love to see you love the Lord and not be hypocritical, because that's what you're doing. You're playing the hypocrite. And it'll show up after a while. It'll blow up on you. That scares you, because I feel your spirit doing like that. See, that scares you. And I'm not trying to hurt you, but I'm just letting you know this for your sake, to let you know that God is in this place and that God knows the very thoughts and intents of your heart. Even though you're sitting way back, he still knows about you. And even though the lights are blurry as to see you, still he knows about you. And the thing is, you're going to have to stop that. You're going to have to stop warring against me, because you're going to really get into trouble. I have a man over to my right. The man here, he won't war against me. He's war against me so much in the past, and I've said things so much until he's backed off from it, even though he still isn't right with God like he needs to be. And I can just move in his direction and feel that it isn't like it should be. But he won't let that spirit come and war against me. He's afraid to do that. Seeing like another brother that's probably here this morning, I haven't seen him, but he come to me yesterday and he was talking to me, and he said, Brother Pike, he said, when I ask a question, and I said, all right. So the other morning when a certain man having a spirit there, and when this man stood up, said after that, you said there's another man to my left, and said this man's also making war against you, and said there's a spirit there that's got a hold to this man. And he said, I want to ask about it. I said, it was you, and it was him. And he said, you're exactly right, it was me. He said, I know it was me. And I said, not only that, but it hasn't just been dented, it's been for a number of days, which is very unusual. Because I said, you know, I've never caught this kind of spirit on you before. I said, I've seen you out of sorts, and I've seen you have problems, even with the brethren. But I said, I've never seen you do that before and allow a spirit like that, especially that would come against me. And he said, it's true. He said, but that thing was gaining strength. And he said, I'm so glad that you'll just come out and tell me about it. He said, because the accuracy of this thing said, you know, it really gets to me. But the thing is, you know, it's just God. It's not just God in me. It's God in you. It is God that loves his people. The Bible said that Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. If Jesus is in me, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll perceive your thoughts as to you being the one, and he'll perceive what you're thinking too. Because that's the way it comes in. And I know this man right here in this aisle right here, he questions that. He questions that because he's had a real problem. And he questions that. See, and brother, I caught that. I caught that just, it ain't just come in. You've been bothered a little bit since you've been here. You usually always are. But this thing bothered you a little bit then, and you let it show up, you know, as to not to want to submit to me. You would like to get what I got. You want it so much you don't hardly know what to do. But you can't hardly bear the thoughts of submitting to me because you have been a self-willed, arrogant fellow, and you have done your thing and you have caused me trouble in the past. And though you hid it and covered it up like you had nothing to do with it, you was the number one man that helped cause the problem. See, so nothing is hid. God shows everything. But I still love you. It makes no difference. I still love you. I still love the brother that let that spirit go that was hypocriting. He turned it loose, but now he's kind of puzzled. His spirit comes in kind of puzzled. That's just to kind of scrutinize me and kind of watch a little bit. And I'm going to say this, and only one person in here would know this, and he wouldn't know exactly, but in as much as I said something concerning him, as to that particular one, I'm going to say it so that he can know this. But he... as to the first one I spoke of just then, he's sitting right next to it. So then that'll let him know something and let him understand that God wasn't just picking on him, that God will let him also know that others are just that way, and out of all the rest, no one would know but him. But that's the way it is. Let's give the Lord a hand. I just said that because a lot of people say, well, I don't know. Why don't you call him out and tell him to come up there? Because I don't want to embarrass him and I don't want to hurt him. But I do like to let somebody know that they are here and who they are. And say, well, he really doesn't know. Well, if I know him, he'll come to me and he'll ask. And in that, I thought that it's good that somebody know that we're not playing games, you know, then I can tell him. Most of you people believe that this is true. And many of you, you've had it to tell you the thoughts of your heart. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And most of you know this is true, and you believe it, and that's wonderful. And you that have not been a partaker of the benefits is to directly speak to you. The Bible said, blessed is he that hath not seen, and yet hath believed. Because we do not see to believe, but we believe to see. And so it is that God loves you, God wants to help you, God is not trying to hurt you. But it is a true fact that he knows about you. He's your master. I'm just a minister as to the helper of your feet. But he's your master. I was like a young lady over to my left that wants fame and popularity. She wants it so bad, she don't know what to do. She wants to project herself to be seen because she feels like she's a beautiful girl. But, you know, there's only one beautiful girl or handsome man. You know, women, they got a way of looking at men and he's handsome. But there is no such thing. All of that is repulsive and a dunghill in the sight of God and shall be fed to the worms right after you finish breathing here and then thrown into the fire because it is a repulsive. It's not the equality of a dunghill, as I said. At least dung is good for fertilizer, even human dung. But nevertheless, the young lady, she doesn't want to offend me. She's very, in her spirit when she first started to taking notice of the gospel, To begin with, she was real hostile and withdrawn as to fight against me, but she won't do that. She respects it. She's got a great respect for it. And she wants it so bad, she don't know what to do. She wants this life and this, and she'd just love to be an outstanding person for God. She'd love to be that. But that thing of the flesh eats at her like a kink of worm. And because of that, she still has that youthful lust as toward the world and the fame and the popularity. But we keep praying, who knows what might happen. Like a young lady over to my left, and this young lady, you know, she's not in the audience out here, but she has a real problem with lust, and the lust is bad. She's a married woman. The lust is bad, but she really doesn't want to do that. In her heart, she doesn't want to do that. And someone says, well, I think that's just picking on someone. Well, there's a woman over to my right. She's not out there either. She's got the same problem. They got problem. Both of them's got problem with lust. They don't want it. But the woman over to my right has been real loose in her lifetime. Her husband didn't know it. But she's been real loose. And she's trying to turn around. But she has found out that that root was a lot deeper than she thought it was. And even until today, in the services, she has the hardest time. And she tries to back off. But that isn't the way to do it. The problem, sister, is you need to kill it. See, you need to kill it. Get rid of it once and for all. Forget about your face. Forget about your body. And the young lady over to the left, her case is different. But what she needs to do, she needs to kill it out too. She needs to kill it. One of her problems is that she feels that she's a very beautiful woman. And she needs to kill it. She needs to get away from it. Someone say, well, you know, that makes us feel pretty good if that's all there is in this audience. Oh, no, that's not that at all. There's one right here in this section right here that's got a real problem. Fine person, a very fine woman. Very fine woman, but got a real problem. And she doesn't really want it that way. But her problem is double-mindedness, of being in between, of not making up her mind. She would like to be real religious if she could be noticed and be seen and be part of things. But in that she can't, then it causes her to have a reservation of heart. And because of that, in that this is true, then because of that, it bothers her in that she can't really give herself to this, though she loves it and she wants to. But the only way that she can look at it is just to, you know, act kind of nonchalant, like at times she just don't understand it. Which that is true. There's times when she don't, but there's times when you don't and I don't either, unless the Lord reveals it. Because first of all, what causes that is the carnal mind, and it's not given unto them that are without. That is, that's not within this wonderful confines of the heavenly soul. It's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you and I it's given. So you know this is the truth. And someone would say, well, who is this? It's you. Someone would say, well, I don't know who this is. I know. That's why I said it like that. You don't need to know. This belongs to them. When a person comes to a physician and they examine them, the physician doesn't go tell everybody else. Occasionally he does tell somebody. Occasionally he might discuss it with another physician. But that's his subject. You know, I do this, and I do this out of love then, that if I have somebody that takes on a rebellion, you know, as to sometimes we have this in the service. But if I have somebody that would do this, then sometimes I go far enough that I call them out and I'll call them up here and I try to do that in a way as to protect them. Otherwise, if I'm talking to you at the table, if I'm talking to you in the presence of my wife, or I'm talking to you in a home, then I'll just tell you what I understand of your heart and what I see. And if I'm talking among the brethren sometimes and things just keep on troubling me, I'll use an indirect speech as Jesus in a parabolic way to break the spirit off of a person. And then if I see the person's going to rebel, I'll do something to force them to manifest themselves where everybody can see it, or I'll just directly come out, as I've done many times, and I'll say, brother, it's such and such and such. As it was in the last few nights, we were standing out here, right here in front of the multipurpose building. They were working on the asphalt. And as they was working on the asphalt, I was talking to some of the brethren. They were asking me questions because their hearts are hungry, just like mine. And I was doing my best with what little that I understand and trying to tell them. And And then all of a sudden, I felt a spirit come in to resent me. And then when I looked at the spirit and I examined it, just like I'm examining these this morning, I heard what it was saying, you know, and as to this thing that was talking to the individual. And while I was standing there, I said, you know, I spoke of something that was going on and whatever. Well, I wasn't going to insinuate anything or tell it in a way to where anybody could depict as to know who it was, to save the embarrassment and not to hurt the individual or injure the soul, because I have to answer to God for that. And but anyway, this individual just stepped forth real boldly and began to talk about it and just make it known. And he realized that it was him, which it was the truth. It was him. And then, of course, I let him know that it was him because, you know, I wanted to help him because he's a fine person. And it wasn't him. It was a spirit. Like when Peter said, "Nay, Lord," and Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was a man with going to get the keys to the kingdom. He knew that was a spirit. But with Judas, it was different. Judas was a devil before he was ever born into the world. God saw him before knowledge, gave himself to the devil. And he was a devil. It was a habitual thing with Judas. Being with God and all the miracles and the wonderful things taking place and the signs and the wonders. And he still continued to do the thing that he did until the Lord lifted the grace from him. He allowed him to obtain part of that ministry. God lifted the grace from him. And then all of a sudden, Satan entered into him. God protected him all that time. Well, anyway, someone said, "Well, that's convenient for you. He stepped forth, therefore, you know, you could say, hey, that's you." No, that's not the way it's worked. I've had people step forth a number of times, and I said, "God bless you, brother, for the sincerity of your heart. You know, we all have problems," but I said, "It's not you. It doesn't have anything to do with you." And like we was here the other day, and I don't know that the individual's here. I haven't seen him this morning. This would pertain to one that does come over here, and I was saying the other morning, I said, "There's a man here," I said, "and he is with a man that's not straight. I've never seen the man do anything wrong. I don't know that he's ever been to this church. But I met him, and he's a very religious man. He's a preacher. He preaches. He seems to be a clean-cut man, conducted himself right in my presence. But anyway, these people run together, and I said the other morning, you heard me, I said, there's a man that's running with another man," and I said, "and this man that he's running with," I said, "this fella is, he's not right. He's got woman problem. He's not right." Well, the man, of course, has been with him for years. And then immediately after that I had said that, God willing to confirm it, this man came to one of our brothers and said, "You know," said, "I had the strangest kind of dream." And he named this particular man that I was speaking of. And he said, "I saw this man in a vision, and he was drinking beer. And when I turned to say something to him or whatever, I believe he said the man laughed kind of hideous-like and mocked him." But, see, that's the way it is. It's like a woman over in Mississippi that we spoke of, and we could go on and go on and go on of the many multiplied time. There in Mississippi, when I said, "This woman has got a harlot spirit," I said, "it's got a hold of her." The woman was one of the finest women in the town, had been one of the finest women all her life, raised a family that was considered to be one of the finest families, had a husband that was considered to be one of the finest men, and I mean up and above board in every way, and a woman that fasted sometimes, I believe, as high as 21 days at a time, a woman that prayed, a woman that was a noted woman. I said, "I can't help it, you know, ever so fine, I can't help what it is." I said, "It's there." And I said, "Unless God divinely undertakes, someday it'll show up." All of a sudden, it showed up. And the man that was so fine, I told my companion, I said, "I picked up a spirit on this man." I said, "And it's a woman problem." And he found out that I said it, and he literally had a fit. I mean, he said things to people, he literally had a fit over it. Because the man was of such a reputation. But I did it confidentially. You know, but somehow he got a hold of it. And he gave me to understand that I was all mixed up. Nevertheless, it wasn't long and he left with a woman. Left his wife. Run off with a woman. And wasn't long before this woman, so fine, turned into one of the worst harlots in the community. Even to have affairs with her own relatives. See, and another man there in the same community, I said, "I can't help what you say, this man has got a bad problem." And I explained it, and it wasn't long before he left his wife, though he was outstanding, a money man, really was something. But it wasn't long before he went off, and harlotry got him. Another man there in Mississippi, I said, this man has got the same problem. I said, he's there. And though he's an outstanding preacher that fasts as long fasts and does all of this, I said, it's there. And I said, it's a vexation to my soul. And it wasn't long before he grabbed one of them in the audience, and away he went. And today he's still with them, and the other man is still with the other one, and the woman is still, as far as I know, in harlotry. Well, anyway, that's just a few things that we spoke of. And I don't know why I said those things, but I only said those things because we have such people that comes to the audience that doubts, as when brings something to my mind, as when sitting in a little old common house and I was talking to the Lord and I looked and I saw Brother Taylor's mother that was over in Illinois fixing to pass away. And then the Lord let me know that they was going to give him a little gray car that they had, and a few other things. And then I saw the time of her passing away was right around the first of the year. So I told Brother Taylor, and I would not have told Brother Taylor, but I told Brother Taylor for the simple reason that it was his stepmother. But still, at the same time, you know, I saw this coming to pass. And so there was a woman down the way, as you've heard me tell. She's supposed to be a real believer, and she laughed and made a joke out of it. But somehow or another, it worked around that when the news came that it happened exactly like we said. Isn't that right, Brother Taylor? And by the way, I was sitting in an old chair that Frank had got me out of the dump, remember? Poor folks, you know, they do the best they can. And he had got me an old chair out of the dump, and it was a lounge chair. And man, that thing was so good. I could sit there and talk to the Lord. Anyway, it just so happened that when the news came from Illinois, the telephone call came through, and the woman that was so skeptical answered the telephone, and she almost had a heart attack. But anyway, I said that too to say this, that we don't need to be of a doubtful mind. We need to believe the Lord, and we need to trust the Lord. And what little that we can do, whether I can do it or you can do it or whoever can do it, we need to do it for the Lord, and we need to love one another, and we need to work together because we are brothers and we are sisters in Christ. And what little I can do, it is Christ in me. And it's the same Christ in you. And if there would be a discernment in me as to anything, then the discernment is also in you. You might not give yourself to it, whereas the Bible said, and give yourself to the gift of God that is within thee, as to Timothy, that was given thee through the presbyter, as to the aged ones by the laying on of hand. Let your prophet then appear to all. For you that have the Holy Ghost, you have the gifts of God, even eternal life. And the Bible said that even when you stand in the audience and prophesy, even you might not even know. Maybe you speak in tongues and somebody else interpret. And you might not even know that God is revealing the hearts of somebody. You're just speaking by inspiration through the prophetical utterance. Even as the prophets of old, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they spoke by inspiration, as to say, when the word of the Lord came unto the prophet. So then, you might not even know, you might not even understand. But the thing is, the other individual that's listening, the Bible said that they will hear and they will fall down on their face and cry to God and report that God is in you of a truth, because you have revealed the thoughts and intents of their heart. Let's give the Lord a hand. Remember that the gifts are in the church, and you are the church, and it will work for you, and it will work for me. I'm sorry to say it's for me that the gift should work a lot greater in my life and a lot more in my life. And if I was a lot more consecrated, a lot more dedicated, a lot more conscientious, if I lived a better life and gave myself more wholesome to the Lord, it would work a lot better. And it grieves me a lot of times to think, you know, that I failed the Lord 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But at least let's try to at least get some kind of fall. Let's just don't be left out and then to go before God and bring no fruit at all to perfection. But let's try to do something. If you are favored as to what you think is to your appearance, or if you are favored as to what you think of your body, Oh, if you're favored as to whatever it might be to your finance, your understanding, whatever, then give it to God. You know, don't despise your youth. Be an example of the believer. Serve the Lord and remember the Lord in the days of your youth while you can give your strength to the Lord. Be an example to draw the people to Christ Jesus. For the body is the Lord's, to glorify God in your body. And God will change that body into a celestial thing that will be so beautiful it will outshine the noonday. And then you'll be glad that you did that, because everyone that doesn't do that will lose their body. See, angels don't have bodies. But in your spirit, you are an angel. And you've been brought into the angelic world as to equal with the angels and cannot die. Your spirit is now in Christ's spirit. And now your body can be given you as a gift forever, to where you not only can be as an angel in heaven, see, as to explore, to have the greatness of God, but you can have this that's in the earth also, and you can relate to this in the earth as to all these things. It's the act of creation that emanated from God. Be ruler over these things and enjoy all the earth and all of heaven too. See, this is what the dispute is over. It's over the body, because the angels, the Bible said, they not being satisfied as to leaving their first estate, was bound in chains of darkness to intellectual ignorance, and they are reserved unto the day of fire. But see, they're trying to get your body because they want to relate to this natural thing around you. Even the passion of men and women, angels want to relate to that. They get into human bodies so that they can cohabit that way, or that they can relate one to another, as even in passions. So then they're after the appetites of the body as to the quickening and the stimulation and the activation and whatever the appetites are, the human senses, that is, they want to relate to this natural, tangible source of creation. And if you give place to that, it upsets God, because he made the body so that he, the great angelic spirit, can live in you as an abundance of life and relate to this that's in the world. He did that because he wants to relate to that that is in the world. He created it as the garden, pure and wholesome, and that he wants to relate to that as you becoming one with him, as to you being God over that creation, and that you get access to heaven and the eternal things by means of him, as to his spirit and translation of your spirit into his spirit. And then he gets access to the earth and to the natural tangible creation through you, because you are God of the earth. So he makes you one. But Satan, having gotten in between God and the body, he has separated the woman as to the body from the spirit. And in that he has this body now in control. And he is God. Whereas man was God, now he is God. And that's why he told Adam and Eve, he said, and God does know, the day that you eat thereof, ye shall become as gods. He knew that, see, because he was going to take over that body and become God of the world. But anyway, we was going to get to some of that this morning, but I got to talking, so I'm not going to even try to preach to you this morning other than what I've already said. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I love you, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate the lady to my left, one of them that we spoke of here, and I won't pin it down, because if I do, some will understand them more and they'll begin to wonder these kind of things. But I appreciate her, because her attitude has been to accept what I said as the truth, and because of that, wanting to make up her mind that she really did want to get in and really go on with God. Not as to the young girl, even though she wholeheartedly accepted and endorsed what I said, and so did the other two women. But the thing is, I'm just saying that she realizes that what we said is true, and that she does want to get in and go with God, and that's great. That's wonderful. Let's sing a little chorus together. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart. By faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, at the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart go away. It was there by faith that His feet my sight. Now I am happy all the way. For at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's sing this little chorus. Come in to my heart. The altars are open. Can you help me sing that? Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in Tuesday. Come in. This is good to see Tony back home. Been over in Louisiana. Come to me, he was down in Louisiana, and found out he was over in Louisiana, and he's come back home. He and Kathy are married now. And trust that the Lord will bless them, and trust that Kathy will continue to stay with the Lord and with the children of God as she has in the past. She's grown up in this, and that Tony will continue to keep his vision for God as he has in the past, to go on and do something great and something mighty for the Lord. That's the thing, folks. You want to get that body for a gift. Wouldn't you like to have that body for a gift and it be young and healthy and strong, to never grow tired and never grow weary, and to be as to the brightness of the noonday as the sun shining within your strength? That you would be as to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, and that throughout eternity, to have your body, wouldn't that be wonderful? And you can have it because it's a gift to you from God. If you will do the things that God wants you to do, then it's a gift to you from God. So then if you use that body now for God, using your body for God now, then in the day of the judgment, you will receive this wonderful, wonderful gift. That is, you'll be changed in this present world to that wonderful, glorious body. And in this, the abundance of life, and it'll be your body. Just think now, you'll have it. I think of Sister Betty. Ah, she's the first lady here, and I think of her. She has given her body to God all down through the years, tired and weary. I've seen her do that so many times. And on the road, she raised her little family. She loved her little family. She has been one of the best wives of the finest women that ever lived in the world. And I saw her in that vision right after the Nevada meeting. I saw her. And in the Nevada meeting, I saw her there during that period of time. The rapture took place. I saw very few people go in the rapture. Very few. But I saw her as she lifted up, and she made the change to have her body eternally forever. You young girls that are here,
you're much younger than Betty. You know, you're a young girl. You still got your life.
Some of you women are younger than Sister Betty. But the thing is, one of these days you won't even be there. You won't even be allowed to come in. And Sister Betty will be a young, beautiful girl, as men say and women say, you know. She'll be young and so beautiful. She's beautiful to me anyway, but she'll be young and so beautiful that if you could see her, you'd think that you was grandma's dish rag, and I don't mean that wrong. But that's the way it's going to be to the children of God, them that love the Lord. That's the way it's going to be, because she hath given her body, her time, her life to the Master. And he won't forget it. You're laboring the Lord, he'll never forget. And he's going to give himself as the great, wonderful Prince of Life, as the beautiful Spirit of Life, as that glistering, as with righteousness on the Mount of Transfiguration. Some of you haven't been there with me, you know what I'm speaking of. That it will be given so that it will be as the sun shining within her strength. And the Bible said his raiment glistened as the light. This is your gift to God if you're willing to have it, if you're willing to do that. Now, all of a sudden, I picked up a woman's spirit, and she's very remorseful. I picked up one little woman's spirit, and she is very happy. Now, you hear me say that. Delighted her spirit. But I picked up another woman's spirit, and her spirit was very remorseful. And it was remorseful because she has, all of a sudden, she thought, this is so wonderful what he's saying about Sister Betty. And I haven't given my life. I'm aged, and I haven't given my life to God. My, what a mistake. I never realized this. I wished that I had done this. I wish that I could do this. But you know what I tell you? Even though you might be aged, the thing is, you could still give your heart to the Lord, which you're trying to do. And you could go on with the Lord, and you could be great and mighty and inspirational. Somebody would say, well, how could that be, Brother Pike? Because Jesus said, your strength shall be as your day. Ever how long you live, he'll give you the strength of the youth as to whatever that day might be. And as I said the other day, Caleb had crossed over the Jordan when he got ready to take his country. And Joshua was going to send somebody up to fight for him. He said, I don't need nobody. He said, I'm the same as I was when I went over the Jordan. And you could have that strength because Moses at 80 years old, he was still a young man. Abraham, 100 years old, was still a young man. Sarah was still a young woman. And see, life doesn't consist of years. I wish we had time to preach and teach to you. But life doesn't consist of years. It has nothing to do with it at all. If you understood a wrinkle in the face, it wouldn't bother you. It wouldn't bother you one tiny bit. You would understand how beautiful that was and what that had to do with. And somebody would say, well, I know, Brother Pike, you know, you just get used to these things like a man suffering. You adjust yourself to it and you say, well, praise God, I'm suffering for your cause. No, that ain't what I mean at all. That's a fantasy. God don't want you suffering, period, except it be for the cause of Christ, as to do a little fasting and praying and denying yourself as to, you know, what you're doing out there. But anyway, I just said that to say this. You'll get a fantasy sort of idea, you know, of what I'm saying. I'm talking about a revelational thing. If you just knew, you'd say, my God, I've been in reverse. I never dreamed such a thing. Like two men that were standing there last night, a black brother and a white brother, was standing there last night at the doorway talking to me. And a brother was telling me, I think he's probably one of the finest we've got, and one of the most intelligent people, one of the most conscientious that provides for his family and whatever. I don't think we've ever had a finer. But he was standing there telling me, he said, you know, my eyes have come open. Hasn't been but a little while that they come open. And he said he just couldn't hardly believe it. And the white brother, that is, the black brother said, and this black brother, believe it or not, he is one of the most intelligent people that we've got, black or white. And but he said, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. He said, all these years, he said, I should have known this a long time ago. He said, and I'm just now seeing it. And he acted like he was literally shocked. See, so this is why I say a lot of times that you don't understand. I don't mean that you're ignorant and that you don't know. You have such understanding, some of you brothers, that different ones come in here, even preachers, and they hear you, and in a little while they say, you know, dear God, I'm not even sure that I ever knew anything because of seeing what you know. But still, you're not to measure yourself by that brother, and most assuredly not to measure yourself one among another. The Bible said that's not wise, or by the diplomacies of professors and whatever. That's not wise. Measure themselves by themselves. That's not wise. But you measure yourself by the Word of God or by Jesus, by the wonderful things of God. And then when you measure yourself by the Lord Jesus, then being ordained to come into the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, then in doing this, then God shows you your shortcoming and how poor you are in shortcoming as to be what He wants you to be and what you should be. With all that you've obtained unto, then you find out that you are not nearly home yet. But you're not home yet as to the change. Well, anyway, I didn't mean to get to preaching again. Let's sing another chorus. At any rate, it's good to be a Christian. Moses started his ministry at 80 years old, so if you're running late, the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Just go ahead and renew your strength and renew your youth like the eagle. And if you're 80 years old, I was telling a brother the other day, who was it? Brother James Isaac. I think maybe James is here. No, he's not here this morning. But anyway, James, I told him he's getting on up near 80. And I said, you know, James, Moses didn't even start his ministry until 80. And he said, well, you know, that's strange. Said somebody laid hands on me and said, God has kept you for an end time ministry. And I said, well, fine. You know, what difference does it make? Do something for God. It doesn't matter what you look like or who you are or what you think you are or what your plans are. The thing that's important is Christ. Is Christ in you? Somebody said, well, I don't know if I was 80 years old. I'll tell you, it'd be all right. Just be 80 and shake the mountain and let it burn with fire. And just be about the age of Joshua and make the sun stand still. And everybody, they'll come out to see you. They won't go over to see the pretty boy. Let's give the Lord a hand. Pretty girl either. See there. Somebody said, well, I know them tens of thousands that goes after that pretty boy and pretty girl. I know that. But there are still people like Ruth that when she come into the land of Canaan, she didn't go after the youth. She'd already had the youth. She'd been married to that. There wasn't no security in that. When she got over there and she saw those young men, they didn't catch her eye. But when Boaz, she saw his success in life and she saw the greatness of what he was and the great mighty man that he was and that she was to be his wife and to be one with him and to have that reputation among them people, she stayed steadfast with him. And folks, they might call our Heavenly Father the Ancient of Days, but I'll tell you, he's young, and though his hair was as white as wool, he's the most beautiful thing you ever seen, and he's from now on. And if you stay with him, everything will be happy. So you glean in his fields. Don't go running after the world. All them tens of thousands that you see going out after these bebops and all that kind of thing, that's devils. Their life is terminal. Cancer, paralysis, insanity, heart failure, all the rot, all of the filth, all the gullible desires of the world, and they'll throw them in the hole and the worms will eat them and the garbage man will come by to collect them because they're the rejected and he'll throw them in the fire. Let's give the Lord another hand. Let's sing a little chorus. All right, so you people of God, you're gods and you outshine the brightness of the noonday when you're unveiled as God's masterpiece. Let's sing this little chorus. And he was here, remember he was, all the time. Someone would say, where? The Bible said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Not only that, but I say this is heaven. The Bible said, and the angels of the Lord that dwell in heaven encamp round about you. And be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. And besides that, you're the body of the Lord Jesus, members in particular. Having overcome, you have sat down in the throne with him and that inner man and the creature itself as to the body will be given you as a gift and have access to heaven and earth. So, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. you're God's. You cannot die. You cannot sin, so you cannot die. You're God's lovely children. His Spirit in your heart crying out to Father. Don't go running after the world. Don't do that. Gehazi did that. He was working with the great prophet of old, as they did with Elijah and Elisha in that day. And then when the rich Naaman that had the leprosy came, he came, all of his riches did not suffice. When you get in pain and misery, it don't suffice maybe to pay a hospital bill, or it don't make up for the misery. And he was in misery with all of his refineries. And the prophet said, go down to the river of Jordan. Or that is, Naaman, get some of the starch out of you. Because when Naaman come, being one at the king's right hand, he thought that everybody should give him special notice. A lot of people are like that, you know. They think they're special in appearance. They're special in talents. They're special in different things, that you should take special notice to them. But anyway, the prophet didn't even bother to go out to greet him. He just sent a little servant out there, and it just embarrassed Naaman. And he said, why did he come out? I thought he'd lay hands on me. He said, no. He just said, go down to the muddy river down here and take a bath. He said, that's all you need. You'll be clean. And oh, he was upset. And the little prophet had a lot of sense at that time, or the little help of the prophet. He had a lot of sense at that time. And he said, now look, he said, if that prophet had told you to do some great thing, said, wouldn't you have done it? He said, how much simpler is it just to go down there at that river and take a bath and do what he told you and get rid of this awesome thing? So he thought it over. He thought, well, that makes sense. And he went down there and he dipped in the water. And sure enough, in spite of the fact that people get old and die, there was something that had control of it, even the prophet. And the Bible said that man's skin become as a little baby. And all of a sudden, he had that nice, youthful appearance that the devil keeps telling you that if you're a Christian, change that body back. Change these stones into bread if you be the Son of God. Let's don't go hungry. And he said, now change this body back. Don't get old, because just think of the exuberance, you know. Or what he wants to say is just think of the passions. Think of the money and think of the world. And hey, you're going out of the world backwards, and I'm going with you, because if I don't have no body, I can't relate to this world. But see, that ain't the way it is at all, brethren. We're not looking for that. We're down that trail. We don't want to go back to that slop hole. See, we don't want to do that. Forgetting those things that are behind, we shouldn't even have them on our mind anyway. We understand the other side of the hill, and we understand what this thing is all about. So, it's so wonderful, you know. But the little servant, he couldn't be satisfied. When he saw, as it was, Naaman was now healed, and he had all these riches. Naaman, he could have cared less about it. He tried to give them to the prophet. He even begged to be excused when he had to go before the king, knowing that things wasn't exactly right with them and even being in their house. He said, have mercy on me. But the thing is, the prophet said, I don't need your gift. Like Joseph said, he said, your gifts be to another. I just want to tell you what the Lord has said about it. Why not? We own heaven and earth and all that's therein anyway. Why do we want to mess around with the beggarly elements of the world to be in bondage again with the old human senses as to that mind of Lucifer that got into Eve that caused all this problem to begin with? We have the mind of Christ, mind over matter, from whence all of this stuff emanated. And we have the power to change it, to bring it back as to the originality without the curse. The way that God made it is for you and I. So loved it that it became ours. Sin wants to bring it back to us, the body of the world, whatever. Having all things in Christ. But anyway, the little servant, he went running after it. He said, now my master, he didn't want any, but I'll take some. And Naaman gladly gave it to him. He just piled it on him. And then after that, he come back, he hid it all away, kind of like Achan when he run after the world and hid the golden wedge in his tent and caused the death of people and sorrow and heartaches. And because of that, God took him and his family and stoned them to death because of the accursed thing. See, don't go after the world. Let God add everything unto you, and he will. He's given you all things that pertain unto life, and the gospel is profitable for this world and the world to come. So don't run after it. Let him add it unto you. That way he'll run it through the filter, and you'll have the benefit of it. But anyway, when he got it all hid, thought it all was hid like Achan, Then the prophet, knowing the thoughts of his heart, knowing what he'd done, he said, what is this that you've done? Oh, he said, I haven't done anything. I've been faithful. You know, I followed you. Sound just like a Bethlehemite. I love you, Brother Pike. You know, let me put my arms around you. That's what stung the fellow the other day. He comes up, he puts his arm around me, tears in his eyes, and he tells me in front of all the brethren how much he loves me. And I've looked at him and I thought, you hypocrite. But I didn't tell him that. I just worked with him because someday it had to be revealed, and thus it was. But after that, he won't be a hypocrite. It'll be real genuine then, because that was a spirit. See, so as Judas coming up saying, friend, or I love you, or greeting the Lord with a kiss. And Jesus said, why betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And Jesus said, friend. And I've said so many times, not because Judas was his friend, he was deadly as a snake, but because Jesus was a friend to him, having spared him all that time. So finally the prophet said, did not my heart go with you when you run after Naaman and the things of the world? Said, my heart was right there. I saw it. The eyes of the Lord throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, rewarding every man according as his work shall be. Naaman gave all of this up because he gave his heart to God. And he didn't care. He didn't have the love of the world in him anymore. And he was willing to give all this away. But said, since he could have said it like this, since you have the love of the world in you now, you also have the plagues of the world. Here it is, clothing, garments, the gold, and here's the leprosy. And he went out from the prophet's presence, a leper. As it was in the days of Moses, so it was his sister, Aaron his brother, but she couldn't be satisfied with what God had blessed her with. She was such a wonderful person, played a timbrel, she sang. People admired her. The ladies followed after her. She was a great, mighty thing in their presence. But because Moses had the leadership as to the pastor of the flock, that old spirit of Satan that said, I shall ascend into the heavens, I shall be equal with God, having the glory most beautiful, so that even a third part of the angels followed him. Maybe someday we'll explain that. But it caused him to lose his glory and become a ruler of the darkness. And he was cast out into the darkness. A lot of you, that's the problem with you, the ones that hear my voice. See, you've been cast out into the darkness. You are now a prisoner of the intellectual reasoning, as it was with Eve when she was cast out of the garden. And Adam, because of the intellectual darkness, they could walk no more in the light. And in the presence of him who was the light that walked in the evening time of life. And now because they were eating of the forbidden fruit, as to what I told you, the things of the world and the old tree of knowledge, as to that that's out there, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the arrogance, the rebellion. I like the brother that's standing here in the midst of you here. He's trying his best to submit, but it's so bad he can't break that natural carnal mind of his. He hath molded a nature that's as strong as a tower. And he despises it. He hates it. He'd love to get rid of it. He can't get rid of it to save his life. And young fellow, I'm not talking about you either. This is a more older man. So don't let the devil hammer on you now. Don't do that. I say that because you need strength. The babes need the sincere milk of the word that they might grow thereby. And I'm not saying this against the other fellow. I think he's a fine man. He's a very fine man and a good provider for his family. And I love him. But he's done it. He's done it on his own. He's done it down through the years. He's done it. His background shows that he's done it to be fearless, not going to fear anybody. And he's done it that he's not going to let anybody maneuver his life or control his life. And he's going to be the man that commands his house and his family. And he's done it through the years. Still been a good provider. But I'm telling you, that won't work on this side of the hill. It's all right for the world. You know, but that's what the Bible calls hardening your heart. The Bible said, harden not your heart, as in the days of the provocation in the wilderness. See, we had a man to leave us a few days ago. This is the problem with that man. This man done the very same thing. He's probably one of the most skillful, one of the most admirable, one to fellowship with. He's one of the most congenial, and I really loved him. But he'd done the same thing in his life. And he'd hardened himself until he could not submit, though he tried. He wanted to. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't make himself do it. That natural side of him was there, and he couldn't do it. And that puzzles another young fellow. I picked it up then. Here, see. But the thing is, now that wasn't what it was. It was something else. But anyway, to say this, the man left. And unless you do something, you'll leave. One of these days you'll leave. You'll leave. We've spoke with others that's done this, and one of these days you'll leave. But I can't do anything about it. I don't want you to. I don't want you to because I don't want to hurt you and I don't want to see you hurt. Because I've had some fine people that left from here. They were fine people. But there's a difference in being just a fine person and being an elect. I've got a woman that's out here almost in front of me. And she's a fine woman. She's doing something that's so commendable that I'm in great admiration of her as an individual. Her and her companion too. But they're not living right. They're not living for God. Oh, they live on the campground. Well, they're still not living for God. It's just not there. They're believers. And I'd like to see them come to God. I'd like to see them come to God. And she sits in my service very reverent. Very reverent. But she's not living for God. That's sad. That's very sad. But see, the Bible said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is all these people that are professing or confessing in these meetings. Not all of them, you know, are receiving salvation, but said, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So this affected that woman when I said that. She perceived that I was speaking of her, and it affected her, and she became very sincere because even at the moment she was insincere. And she was, as in her mind, taking an outlook of a thing as to draw my respect as to her as one that was real sincere. And the Lord bless you, the Lord help you, and you know, and I don't mean anything by it, but the thing is, it jolted you and you realized that even that was a hypocrisy sort of a thing. And it was. But still, you're a fine person, so don't be alarmed. But if you're not doing anything for God, do it. Don't run after the world, because all of the plagues of the world go with it. When they religiously took the Ark of the Covenant, they didn't know how to worship it, and it brought plagues. Whereas to you and I, the Spirit of Christ brings blessings. But to the world, to have that grace, as to the Spirit of Christ pouring out His Spirit on them, it brings the curse. Because having grace, turning it into lasciviousness, then that means that they'll have to answer to God as to the judgment. And be condemned at the judgment. Because they had grace, they knew and didn't do it. But we know how to worship God and to serve the Lord. And because of this, in that we do know how to do that, then the Lord blesses us. So they had plagues until they were willing to give it up. The world is having plagues. They're getting away from religion more and more. Now they're getting away from it as to Christianity. And they're going to their ball games and they're going to the others. And they'll get so that they will despise a person that's a Christian. They'll despise them and they'll hate you because you called by the name of the Lord. And they'll realize that God is not for them, that they have been deceived to the extent of Satan. Not God's deceit is to give them the grace, but as to Satan deceiving them. And they'll want to give the ark back to you. And they'll say, hey, you take it, because this thing works in reverse for me. All right, so if you go after the world, then you have a gift, and that gift is the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, if you'd like to read it. Every plague, every thing as to madness, insanity, cancer, TB, heart condition, harlotry, whatever it might be, poverty, and eternal doom and damnation. I'm going to say this, and then we're going to go right on and sing another chorus too and let you go. But I've got a woman over to my right. This woman is about as hypocritical as I ever seen. She's so hypocritical that she is pious toward me to try to, in hypocrisy, convince me with her expressions that she is living for God. Sister, I don't mean it wrong. You know, you're a very fine person, even though hypocrisy is so bad. But that's not right. You know you're not living for God. You know you're not even interested in the spiritual things of God. And your husband is a very fine person. You're a very fine person. And your husband is interested in the things of God, and he's tried. He's having a lot of problem with carnality because of his background. But you just haven't even got in the water yet to really make yourself, to get into business, to be honest even with the preacher. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, we're going to sing another little course here. Let's sing this little this song one more time at the cross. I think we sing it a few minutes ago. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. How I'm happy today. Let me say this before we sing the little closing verse. The man to my left, that he's got, he shook that off. He got rid of that spirit. And he accepted what I said about the carnality, and he realized that what I told him was the truth, that he knew that was his background, and he accepted it. And let me say this to you. As long as it's just the natural you, I can work with you, help you, and I'll keep on, irregardless to the fact that it ought not to be as to the hardness of the heart. But because of your sincerity, I know that you want to love the Lord. But when you get spirits on you, folks, you know, I'm telling you, it's like one dog coming to another dog, and that's not a very good illustration, but I'm putting it on the other side of the hill to say it. You know, if one dog don't have fleas and another dog has fleas, and every time he gets near that dog, he's going to pick up fleas, and he's going to have to start scratching. Or this man has mange, and another, this dog has mange, and this other dog don't, and he gets over, he's going to get the mange, and he's going to scratch the blood out. Somebody said, boy, you're really getting off trail. No, Jesus said there are dogs and swine. I'm just trying to bring it back to what I was talking about. But anyway, one dog, you know, he's scratching. Another dog, he's scratching. And one hog, he's rooting. And another, he's grunting. But at any rate, I'm just saying that when it comes to fleas, they'll just go anywhere, into the house or whatever. And that's one thing I don't like. When it comes to spirits, parasites have been typical. I just can't stand it. I can't stay around it. If you got problems as a natural person, I can manage that all right, because we're all a natural being as to our body. It hasn't been changed. You know, and I can, like Jesus said, have a natural car, have a natural home, have natural food, all these carnal things I've given unto you. Paul said, if other men are partakers of these, am I not the more? Being a very spiritual man, he said, but don't I have the right to all these carnal things? That I saw spiritual things to you. So then all those carnal things, those natural things, you know, that's not repulsive to the Lord. That's the way he made you. But the infiltration as to the carnality of the mind of carnality, as to be carnally minded, that's death. That is the spirit of death. That is the spirit. You love the Lord? I said I wasn't going to say anything else, or I thought I wasn't, but I will say this. I got a little black sister over to my right here. She's a fine little sister. She carries herself so well. Makes you thankful to have people, whether black or white, that carry themselves so well, you know, wherever she's at, on the campground or whatever she does here. She carries herself so very well. Makes you grateful to have people like that, because some just, they dress anyway, act anyway, and whatever. But she really needs to get herself an experience with the Lord. she really don't have a real experience with the Lord. She's just a believer. And she carries herself so well that she thinks too highly of herself. A little highly of herself than she does some of the others. And esteems herself as to a self-esteem, which is wrong. That's the wrong kind of mind. And then there pops up another one all of a sudden. You know, if you didn't do that, I wouldn't say anything about it, but it aggravates me. As to my left here and not as to where my men are standing, but there's a woman here, also a black sister. And a sister, you're in hypocrisy. You've been in hypocrisy ever since I know you. I wouldn't have said that, but you've been in hypocrisy ever since that I have known you, and you have been a troublemaker ever since I have known you. And you have been one of the smoothest operating people that I have seen, and you've troubled your children, you have troubled your husband, and you are one of the great problems of why that he has been in the condition that he's in. A very fine man, but he had a lot of self-will about him and a lot of carnality, and God had to break him down and put him through the fire because he was so self-esteemed until it was repulsive to be in his presence. But you've been his major problem through his lifetime, and you esteem yourself so much that you have caused a problem and a complication. And I marvel, even though you've had heartaches and sorrows, some that crushed you, but I marvel that you would still have the thing of hypocrisy in your life, that you would let it rise up in my services. You hide it all the time in my services. But see, that isn't going to do you any good, being part of Bethlehem as you think, and coming to Bethlehem. That isn't going to help you. You're going to have to get away from that, because if you don't get away from that, you take my word for it. As a minister, though you've been under my ministry for a long time, you're going to die and go to hell. And I hope that won't happen to you. Because as a Christian brother with all purity, I love the sisters, I love the brethren. I trust that you love me. Well, that's the way it is. And let's sing another little chorus. I have to tell you these things because I don't know of any other way to go. I trust that the brother that I spoke of first that got me into this, God allowed him to do that so that I would do this. Because he wants to deal personally. The world says one-on-one. He wants to deal personally with you a lot of time. But this brother, I trust that this brother will turn around because he's a believer. And he believes what I'm doing right now. He believes it. He wonders a little bit about it because it's hard for him to really get a hold of. But he believes it. But he's got a problem, and that is he don't have the infilling of the Spirit. He's just a believer. And to the carnal side of him, it's repulsive to God to be carnally minded is death. And naturally, when I'm under the anointing, then this comes in as carnality. It's repulsive to God because you've heard and know the truth. It's not as to God Achunda. He's give the grace to do away with it, whereas he's give the grace here to do away with it as to you being ignorant until you come to the knowledge of God. And then when you come to the knowledge, it's repulsive then because it is an allowance. See, and he's killed that thing at Calvary. He doesn't want to see it anymore. And a Christian's life is not there anymore. So I trust that he can come around to this thing and not let the devil pull him back out after listening and listening and listening, as I've had people to do, not getting in and getting the Spirit. They listen and listen and admire, and then after a while, the devil pulls them out and they're careless, they're gone. You know, it meant nothing, and then they're critical, and soon they're killed. Something happens to them. I hope that won't happen. I hope he'll get away from that human reason. He's been a person to reason in his life, really reason in his life. Well, as the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I appreciate the attitude of the sister to the right that I said was given to some hypocrisy, because she is a fine person. And what I said, she accepted. It went home. She knew it was her. She accepted it. And she broke her spirit as to be remorseful over it, that it's right. I do need to do something about it. And that's good. That's good. I think you and your husband's going to make it. You got to find a little family. I think it's going to work out for you. Well, let's just lift our hands together and close our eyes, can we? Appreciate my little ones, my little girls and boys. They're so precious to me. And they listen so careful to what me and Betty says and what we try to do in leading them. And we want to help you. We want to be with you. We want you to be with us. You're our children and the Lord. Let's sing "I Will Praise Him," friend. And I will praise Him. My heart will ask Brother Rob Coon if he'll come and dismiss us. And while Rob's coming, can you just lift your hearts up to God? Lift your hands up. Close your eyes. Worship the Lord. Examine yourselves. See if you be in the faith. See, faith by the hearing of the Word of God. See if you be in the faith. Because that's what we want, folks. And if there's something wrong in your heart, if I speak of it, you know, if the Spirit speaks of it, do something about it. Because the Lord loves you. He loves you. He wouldn't have you here if He didn't care for you. But don't go the wrong way. Don't have self-esteem. Humble yourself. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ, washing the brethren's feet, esteeming others better than yourself, saying, take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And like Moses, the meekest man in all the land. As our brother comes, let's remember the Lord.
Heal him, Lord.